I'll tell you what, let's make them welcome now. Hey, let's make Shadow Boys welcome.
All three mics work?
That's what he said.
They all work this time. Hello. Hello.
Check, check.
Check, check.
Hey, Brooklyn. Brooklyn, get in here though. Let me see what you have to say first.
Okay, Brooklyn. I need to say something. This ain't for us. This is about God. We're singing about God, not for us. That's all I want to say. And thank the church and thank all of us for real. Amen. Let's kill it. Let's kill it like we always do.
Come on. You don't always kill it.
Yeah, let's do this.
Y'all ready?
Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. I can feel them. Angels are watching over me. 20 miles ahead till I get home, till I safely camp before your throne. Lord, I believe. Lord, I angels are watching over me. Somebody's praying, I can feel them. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can see. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying. Somebody's praying for me.
Ain't it a blessing to know somebody pray for you? Amen. You know, you are where you are with the Lord. You are where you are right now because somebody took time out to pray for you. and somebody's watching over you. Many times I feel like that song, angels are watching over me, keeping me from the perils of this world. Many a time I should have gone on into eternity lost. You know, be in hell right now, but somehow God sent a roadblock to keep me here one more day. You know, so they had an opportunity that one day he knew that when the gospel came to me, I would bow my head and trust him, you know, and turn my life over to him. God wants you to serve him. He didn't save you so you can live your own life. He saved you so that you can live a life for him. You know, and God wants you serving him. You know, somebody's praying. I can feel it. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody's praying for you right now. You know, you're being here in the presence of Almighty God and being in this church means somebody's prayers got through. You know, and you're here right now, God trying to reach you and trying to get you a message to you, trying to get a word to you. You know, and all he's waiting for you is to, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open, I will come unto him. You know, and I will sup with him and him with me. And so God wants to have he wants to have an intimate fellowship with you. And it all depends on you opening that door and letting God in. You know, may we pray that this will be the very day that that takes place. We have a lot of activities going on through our revival week. We'll have revival starts again tonight at 6 o'clock after the evening service. We're having a fellowship celebrate our birthdays and anniversaries. Brother Johnny being here with us this week. And, you know, if you got a birthday or anniversary in the month of September, we'd like to say happy birthday to you, and we'd like to celebrate it tonight. So come and be with us. It starts at 6 and then be right after the evening service. And then also, we have a Bible to give away. This is a gift to somebody who brings the most visitors. Some of you have already gotten started. And so this is a Brother Johnny signature Bible. So it's only going to be one of a kind. Very few of these out there. They're just, you know, you take that same Bible, put it on eBay, sell it for thousands. Just because Brother Johnny signed it. Amen. You know, well, I didn't mean you get thousands of dollars. You'll get thousands of responses on why his name's in your Bible. Amen. That's how many people know Brother Johnny. Amen. You know, he touches the multitudes and they know him. Amen. So I appreciate him and his ministry. And, you know, and he's tutoring Brother Javo along the way, and he's done a great work with him, and they work hand in hand, you know, like Batman and Robin. Amen. He's even proved he's got Batman pajamas. I don't know if he's got Robin pajamas, but just look at him. He looks like a Robin. Amen. Amen. So I'll go have a great week. Bring a visitor. Let Miss Donna, she's going to keep tally. Whoever you brought today, you know, just give a list to her and say, I've got this many visitors. You know, we'll keep score. And the person Thursday night, Bible goes through Thursday night, has the most visitors to their name, they'll get this Bible hand-delivered to them by Brother Johnny himself. You know, himself. So I appreciate you coming. I'm excited about seeing who's going to win. We got to know. Now the question is, who's going to win? Is it going to be a boy or is it going to be a girl? You mean girl? Girl can't win a Bible like this. It's a men's Bible. Amen. Ain't that right? Amen. It just looks like a men's Bible. Amen. Oh, Miss Donna disagrees with me. Well, we'll find out. You know, praise God for that. You know, and I'll see which one actually wins. So, and I appreciate the young people coming, and I appreciate everybody that came to be in the house of God today. You know, and my heart's desire is you come to meet Jesus. He does some work in your life. You know, and influences you so that you'll influence somebody else. Amen. So let's go ahead and receive our offering this morning. Amen. 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 Praise God. Yes. Amen. We'll have our ushers come forward. Amen. He is worthy. Amen. God, prayers are getting through for Miss Helen, so let's continue to pray for her. Amen. Amen. Brother Edward, why don't you pray for us?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for another opportunity to be in your house. Heavenly Father, just thank you for, Lord, for our church filling up like it is, Lord. Yes. And we're going to give you all the praise, honor, and the glory for it, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll be with Brother Johnny and Brother Ray, yes, Lord, that you'll lift them up, Lord, that they'll always do your will. And, oh, God, just thank you for everyone that's here. Bless the ones in the nursing homes and the hospitals, Lord. And bless the soldiers that are on the field fighting for our freedom, Lord. And thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' sweet name, amen.
Amen.
Sure to be back tonight, especially for Brother Johnny, but also we'll have a willing vessel here singing tonight, and ones that was here and heard them before. I know you're going to come back to hear them again, but if you hadn't heard them, they'll bless your heart. They sing the old songs that we sung growing up, and it's the instrumental group, and they swap instruments part of the time. They do a real good job, and you're going to love. Lord, lay this song on my heart this morning. Everything that I am or ever hope to be, it's only because of Calvary.
That's right. That's right.
And you know, we don't have any trouble hollering for the Lord when we get in trouble. But some of the sweetest times that you can have, it's just taking time to talk to Him and thank Him without asking Him for anything.
Yes.
That's what this is about. Calvary's the reason why.
That's right. Yes.
But you knew where to find me. I was hungry. You were bread for my soul. I was thirsty, and you gave me living water. You were my shelter when I had no place to go. That's why sometimes I just want to praise you, and sometimes to speak your name. Sometimes I just want to thank you. Without asking you for a thing. And sometimes I lift my hands to you. And sometimes all I do is cry. why, when I think of the love that you've given us, Lord, and when I think of the price that you paid for me, amen, then all the troubles, trials, heartaches, this whole world, they seem like nothing. Amen. When they're compared to dark Calvary. That's why sometimes I just want to praise you. And sometimes just speak your name. Sometimes I just want to thank you. Without asking you for a thing. And sometimes I lift my hand to you. And sometimes all I do is cry. Everything Lord, and carry the reason why. That's why sometimes I just want to praise you. And sometimes to speak your name. Jesus, ain't that sweet? Sometimes I just want to thank you. Without asking you for anything. And sometimes I lift my hands to you. And sometimes all I can do is cry. Everything that I am, I owe to you. Lord, and carry the reason why. Everything that I am, I owe to you, Lord, and Calvary's the reason why.
Hey!
We'll go ahead and dismiss our children's church. Listen, if you're single digits, 9 and under, then you can participate. We have a toddler's church right upstairs, and you know, and that's 4 and under. And if you'd like to go and sit in a toddler's class, you're more than welcome. But 9 and under, if you'd like to participate and go right here, you can just go with Miss Belinda. They got new dresses on. They want everybody to see them. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we're getting on God's time right now. So let's sit up, young people. You know, we're going to introduce Brother Johnny to Falling Water Baptist Tabernacle. You know, it's not nothing new for him, but I told him, I said, God's doing a great work here, you know, and he feels it and he experiences it. And, you know, you're going to get a chance, if you've never saw him before, to experience Brother Johnny.
Thank you, brother.
You know,
thank
and you. So I love Brother Johnny. Brother Johnny Thank takes you. Care of this preacher.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I mean, when I was sick, I was in the hospital getting ready to have surgery, didn't know if I was going to live or die. I didn't have any idea what the outcome would be. 6 o'clock in the morning, him and his lovely wife were sitting at the hospital, ready to pray over me. I thought, you know, that touched me. You know, and he ministered to my family. They were very, my mom and dad were upset about it, and he was right there, you know, to comfort them and laugh. And he's the master of entertainment.
Thank you.
You know, and even the lady, when I went back the other day, I said, you know, I came here, and, you know, she remembered Brother Johnny, you know, that was running that little hospital, that little place there, that waiting room, you know. And so, and my brother got a chance to be introduced to him. He said, you know, I don't remember much, but I remember that man. Amen. And the rat in his pocket. Amen. So, you know, going to go out to dinner with him this week. You feel like to come, he'll totally embarrass you. I'm telling you. So, amen. He's a blessing. You know,
thank
he's
you,
a
brother.
Friend to preachers.
Thank
he
you,
loves
brother.
Preachers. He thank loves you. Local churches. He thank loves you. His King James Bible. You know, he loves the Lord, and he's amen. Not afraid.
Thank
he tells everybody, he says, go out there and read his car.
Thank
you know,
thank
you just see
you.
Stickers all over it. You know, and it's you, VADF. He said, people have all these initials behind their name, PhD. And
yeah.
He said, God educated him.
That's right.
You know, and
yeah.
So he said, but I want me some initials. So he made up his own, BADF.
Yeah.
He said, what's that mean? He says, born again devil fighter. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And he's yes. a doctor of fighting the devil, I promise you. Amen. So
amen.
Let's give the Lord a big hand for Brother Johnny's ministry amen. And thank him for being with us this week.
Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter number 26. I want to say it's a real joy and honor to be here. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself. All the good singing, good testimonies, the Spirit of the Lord we've already felt here this morning. There was a time in my life when I hated the church. I can remember a bar that I used to hang out down in Houston that every Sunday morning those church chimes would go to ringing. Me and a bunch of fellows got together and took a bunch of speakers out of the bar and run wires out front that when the chimes got to playing on the church, bells across the street on the music to chime, that we turned up all that country music and stuff and tried to drown them out and hollered at the people going in the church for the worship services and things like this. I used to think that the church was made up of perfect people. I thought that the only way that you could ever enter into the church is you had to have somebody with a good education and a good background, and I thought that you had to be a certain sophistication that you could enter in the church. But it's like that sister said a minute ago, how he picked her up out of the miry clay.
Amen.
Because you see, he's the potter.
Amen.
And we're the clay.
Amen.
And I used to preach that all the time about how that he told Jeremiah to go somewhere. He didn't tell him to go down in the woods. He said, I want you to go down to the potter's house. That's where God does his work, down at his house. And he takes a bunch of old clay, picks all the impurities out of us, takes all the things that would mar his hand, and down at this house, that's where he does his work. And I'm so glad that God does something like that. He takes all different kinds of people. In this congregation, there's no doubt about it. There's drunkards and dope addicts and ex-dope addicts and ex-drunkards and ex-prostitutes and everything. And God takes us all in one and saves us and washes us in blood. And he takes us and puts us all in the house of God together. And that's what makes it so great. This week I heard a man give a testimony. And it blessed me so good. Me and him was down at the motel. Talk about how much we love the church and what the church means to a bunch of old fellas like us that's been down the road. It's so good that you can get out of all the cussing and all the politics and all the things of the world and got a place where you can come in and get blessed. Nowhere in this world could you bought what you felt here this morning. Walk out of here, no guilt, just felt so good. Knew that you was as close to God and close to heaven that you could have your sins forgiven and your name put in the book and all of everything you've ever done in your past were completely forgiven. Nowhere else but down at the house of God. He said, Brother Johnny, me and my wife, we argued and we fought all the time. He said, finally she come up in a family way. When that boy was born to me, he said, I didn't even think that boy was mine. He said, because we just running to bars and doing everything. And he said, I'll tell you, I hated that boy. He said, from the time that he was born, I didn't want to be nowhere around him. He said, every time I'd get a chance, he said, I'd slap him. I'd pinch him. He said, then when he got a little bit older, he said, sometimes I'd catch him by his arm and fling him from one side of the room to the other. He said, one time I caught him and I put his head in the commode. He said, I thought I'd drowned him. I hated him so bad. But he said, Brother Johnny, when he was about 5 years old, God saved me. God washed me in his blood. God washed me in his blood and cleaned me up. And he said, Brother Johnny, it seemed like my whole life I just went crazy to get in that book and learn the things that I had missed all of my life, the things that I'd missed about the Word of God and about church and about being a Christian. And he said, that little old boy was scared to death of me. He said, the first 30 days of my Christian life, I read that Bible through. Day and night, burning that oil, getting in that Bible, reading that Bible, just reading that Bible. He said, I've been saved about a month and a half. And he said, I was sitting on my couch. And he said, while I was sitting on my couch like this, he said, I seen that little boy come get right in front of me like this. He was sitting on the floor. And he said, I was reading my Bible, and I was watching. He said, every once in a while, he'd look up at me like that. He said, I just kept reading my Bible. He said, a few minutes later, he got a little bit closer to me. He said, I just kept reading my Bible. He said, he come, got right in between my legs. He said, Daddy, can I sit up there with you? He said, yeah, come on up here. He said, he come sit right beside me. And he said, I just kept reading my Bible. He said, Daddy, you love that Bible, don't you? He said, son, I sure do. I love that Bible. He said, Daddy? He said, yes, son. He said, I'm so glad you got saved and we're going to church now. Nobody in the world could change a person like that and have put love inside of his heart except what Jesus Christ can do to a man's life. You remember when you first got saved and you come to Christ? God washed you and you're so clean and boy, you were so happy in the Lord. And then all of a sudden you begin to let things come into your life. The church didn't seem like it was just exciting like it used to be. I was telling Brother Jabbo and them this morning that I was going to preach on the green grass syndrome. You know, it always looks greener somewhere else. It always looks greener. I don't care if it's a job. A man thinks, well, I can always get myself a better job. I can leave here and I can go there. I can go out through the countryside and I can see an old cow on the fence and he'd be on this side of the fence and he'd have his head stuck through the fence out there trying to eat the grass on the other side. You can come to my house right now, and there's a spot of green grass right out there beside my house. But you know what it's over? It's over the septic tank. And that's the way most of our green grass experiences work out. Is that right?
There's a woman got a husband. She's not happy with that husband. She's got to get another husband. There's a man's got a wife. He's unhappy with that wife. He's got to get another wife. Here's a man's got a car. Car ain't good enough. Got to have another car. Here's a man got a house. Ain't got a house. A house ain't good enough. Got a house. Always looks greener somewhere else. Is that true? But what's the shame about that is that's the same way we do the Church of the Living God. We go to church and God blesses us, but we're all the time saying, well, it can be better somewhere else. Uh-huh. Is that right? Somewhere else is doing this, and somewhere else is doing something else. And if I could just get over there, I know that it would be so much better on my life. And then after a while, we get in the rut of just getting up and on Sunday morning and going down to the church house, don't we? It's getting the kids together. It's getting the kids together. It's trying to get everything together on a Sunday morning. It seems like if you ever want to have the devil fight you, it'll be on a Sunday morning. Is that right? Yes, trying to get down to the house of God, the car break down, and everything in the world. If anything's going to happen, it will happen on a Sunday morning.
Yes, sir.
I was thinking of some sounds from Sunday morning. I was thinking about some sounds from Sunday morning. Some of the things that you might hear around your place and my place on Sunday morning. Some things while you get ready to come down to the house of God. I want to tell you something, my friend. There is no such thing as the perfect church. You hear what I'm telling you? There is no... If you found a perfect church, I know that if I found one, the minute that I would join it, it would become imperfect. The only perfect church that I just recently heard about was in China. When we just had the Olympics over there, not the church that the government recognized, but the most perfect church it is the underground church. It's where the church is suffering persecution, and that's the most perfect church that you can find. Because they love one another, they don't backbite, gossip, and everything. Is that right? That's where you'll find a good. But as long as we're in this body and as long as we're assembled together with all the different personalities, with all the things, it will never be a perfect church. Even in the New Testament, you can't find a perfect church.
That's right.
Is that right? In Acts chapter 5, a man by the name of Annas and Sapphira was some people that had lied to the Holy Ghost. They sold some property. They kept the money back, and God killed them in the church. Is that right? God struck them down the church. How would you like to have been a member of that church there? When God took... Listen, if God did that nowadays, you'd have to have a morgue in the basement of every church. If everybody that lied to God and God killed them, is that right? And you'd have to have an embalmer on the staff. Is that right? So what I'm trying to tell you this, so then in Acts chapter 5, you had a man and woman there that had lied and God killed them. Acts chapter 6, you got some people fighting about who's going to distribute the food in there. Is that right? And Peter said, we got to give ourselves to the preacher of the gospel. We can't get a fight between the Greeks and the Grecians, between the Hebrews and the Grecians about serving his food. The food bank was causing trouble. Is that right? I mean, all these problems. You go down to Corinth and say, well, let's pack up. Let's go down to Corinth today. You pack up, you go down to Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There's a man in the church sleeping with his stepmother. Is that right? So that ain't no perfect church either. You go down to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. There was two women in there, and their name was Odious and So Touchy. And there they was arguing and a fighting in the house of God. So see, you can't find no perfect church there. Is that right? So before we bring the message to try to show you what we call how that the seven churches of Asia Minor. Let me show you something. Like this happens on Sunday morning. And every one of y'all, I'm sure you went through this morning trying to get to church. You go out to the car. You start the car. That's you heading off down to church. I mean, you getting ready. You know that white man, I mean, you just a hard, get out of there, come on out here, get in this car out here. She might have two diaper bags and about five babies and trying to get them out there. And boy, you got that car, you just got that thing just erasing it. There you sitting out there, you ain't got to heat the baby bottles and get all this stuff. And then you're sitting in the car and you're going, come on, woman,
Come on, woman. Come on, woman. Get in this car. What's wrong with you?
I'm coming. I'm here.
All right. Okay. Where, you got all the kids?
Come on, kids. Let's go. Let's go. We got to go. Come on. He's
all right. Y'all ready to go to church? Huh?
Yes.
All right. Where you at? All right, boy. This is our youngest boy here. What you got to say this morning, Sunday morning, going to church? Why do we got to go to church, Daddy? That's all right. You did good, son. Why do we got to go to church, Daddy? And here's my other son. This little, he's sitting in the back seat. What you got to say this Sunday morning, son?
Daddy, church is boring. We almost there yet.
There you go. Is that generally about what happens on every Sunday morning?
You're out there, you're blowing the horn, you're trying to get ready. One's griping, one don't want to go to church. The other one said, Daddy, church is a bore. And while you're on the way to church, man, you're trying to get to church.
Wait a minute, I forgot my Bible.
No, get back in the car. We ain't got time to go get no Bible. We got to get on down to church. And now I'm flying like that to get down to the church. I'm going to fly like that to get out of church. Now I'm getting myself a speeding ticket. Carlene, you forgot the baby. Carly, shut that kid up. Can you please? We got to get down to the church house. We got to be spiritual when we get down there at the house of God. Is that really just about the way it is on Sunday morning when you're trying to get the cops are after you, the preachers are waiting on you, and as soon as you get down to church, hi, Pastor. This is my lovely little family here. Everything just going along fine. Is that right? That's exactly the way we are. I just wanted you to know, thank you so much, son. There is no perfect people or perfect families in the church. Now, we're not going to turn there now for the sake of time, but I was going to have you turn to Acts chapter 26. Paul was talking about whenever, before he got saved, how that he used to put people in prison. But once God saved him and he saw the light, then all of a sudden he fell in love with the church. And I believe that once you get right with God, that you will love the church. Sure, there's going to be some trying times and some hard times. But there is no perfect church because there is no perfect people. Now, for a few minutes of time, I want you to look at Revelation chapter number 2, if you would, please. In Revelation chapter number 2. In Revelation chapter number 2. Now, you got to remember at this time, these are seven literal churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. At this time, there was about 250 churches. But Christ picked out seven real churches to show how that each one of them would be and the way that it is now in the church. And there is no perfect church. If you got your pencil, the first one, the church at Ephesus, there's seven of them. In Revelation 2:1, Ephesus. Their whole problem with them is they fell out of love. When they got saved, it's the fallen church. The other church is Smyrna. That's in 2:8. That's in 2:8. They begin to suffer persecution. They was a poor church. Then Pergamos in chapter 2, verse 12. They was married to the world. In chapter 2, in verse 18, the church of Thyatira. It was filled with false doctrine. And the fifth church was Sardis. In chapter 3 and verse 1, it was just spiritually dead. Chapter 3, verse 7, was the church of Philippi, the church of the open door. Their problem was, they just got to the place that they never did do nothing for God. The church in Laodicea, in chapter 3, verse 14, it means favorable of the people. How that they give everything to the people. But I want you to look at number one verse. I want you to look at chapter 2 and verse 1. And the Bible said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. This is the pastor. This is the messenger of the church. He said, I want you to write these things, saith he that hold the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Here's what he's saying to that church. It's just like this morning. If God would have sent a letter by your pastor here at Living Waters, And John would say, John would write down the letter, and he would have a letter. He said, I want you to give this to that pastor. And I wanted to read that letter to the church. When I was a young Christian, I'll never forget one time that I did that myself in a church service there, because I knew that I had a responsibility to being the pastor of that church. And I read it like this: to the pastor of the Northside Baptist Church, Shelbyville, Tennessee, I know your hard work and your deeds and your perseverance. I know, look what it says in chapter 2, verse 2. He said, I know thy works, I know thy labor, I know thy patience, and I know how they can't stand them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them that say they're apostles that are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, stop right there, hold it. God said, I want to tell you something. Fallen Waters Baptist Church, Northside Baptist Church, I know your work. I know your labor. I know how that you hate them things that are evil, all the trash and the stuff that's going on in this world. I know that you hate all of the things that's going on, the sin that goes against the church. But he said, nevertheless, I got somewhat against you.
Right.
Number one thing is, you have not forgot, but you have left your first love. He said, at one time you was on fire for God. It's all right to hate everything in the world. It's all right to hate the things that I hate. But he said, don't fall out of love.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
And do you know, a lot of times you can hate so many of the wrong things until you can fall out of love. Is that right? That was an indictment against the church that the Apostle Paul started, that Timothy pastored, that St. John pastored right there. And if anybody knew anything about love, it was the Apostle of Love himself. John wrote that down. He said, you have left your first love. Did you know how Jesus said that? Know that you're my disciples. If you have love one for another. Is that right?
Amen.
But here's the strange thing. He said, your first love. Your first love. That word first is 401 times in the Bible. And you can, New Testament starts in Matthew's Gospel chapter 5. He said, first, go be reconciled to thy brother. Go get right with your brother. That is your first love. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, a lot of times here in America, we're so messed up on what this word love is. We think that if you buy your wife a weed eater for anniversary or something like that, that shows you love her. Is that right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh? But can I tell you something? You see the kind of love he wants out of us. It's not a love of duty, but a love of devotion. You see, a lot of times, fellas, you got to admit this, we'll buy an anniversary present or a Valentine's present because we feel it's our duty. Is that right? But it would be good during the year if we bought a little something and give them a little gift during the year. Is that right? That's his devotion to show that you really love them. Is that right? So number one thing is, he said, I know you stand against things. But he said, I want to tell you something. You got someone against you. You have forgot your first love. Let's just skip on down real fast to the second church. And the Bible said in verse 8, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and thy tribulation and thy poverty. He said, I know that you're a poor church. But he said, really, you're rich. He said, for I know the blasphemy which say they're Jews and are not, they're the synagogue of Satan. You know what that, why that they was, what they were saying against the church? They were saying against the church that the church wasn't up in a bunch of cannibals, because they took that verse where Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Therefore, the Jews was attacking them and saying the church wasn't up in a bunch of cannibals down there. But Jesus said, I want you to know I'm the first and the last and the beginning and the end. So he said, here's the church at Ephesus. Say, me and Carlene or you got together. We went down to Ephesus. And we're sitting there on Sunday morning. And we done heard about this church is all powerful. They're real fundamental. They're against the homosexual movement. They're against all of these things. They're against, they're hating things that God hates. And then all of a sudden that pastor says, Jesus said that I got something against you.
Church of Smyrna, the same thing. God said, I know you're a little church, and I know you don't have much money and things like this. But he said, I want you to know that I have somewhat against thee. For sake of time, let's skip on down to the next one in verse 12. And to the angel, to the pastor of the church of Pergamos, write these things, saith he that hath a sharp sword, two-edged. I know your works. You see, everything you do for God, this brother bringing these young people in, and all the things is done here, the cooking in the kitchen and the song leading, and everything here, God is keeping a record of your works. He said, I know thy works, I know what's going on. But he said, Pergamos, you got in trouble. You love the world too much. You love the world too much, Pergamos. That's what's wrong with it. The word Pergamos means married to the world. Look at verse 13. He said, I know thy works where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name. He said, you keep my name, and thou hast not denied the faith, even where in Antipas, anti means against, apos means things, of my faithful martyr who was slain among where the Satan dwelleth. He said, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast let them hold the doctrine of Balaam, which taught Balak to cast a stumbling block for the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. God said, I'm going to tell you something, Pergamos. I got something against you. You're taking that meat, that what you do, that is sacrificed to animals, and you're eating that meat. And not only that, you're letting a woman in that church to seduce my servants. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
He said, you've done some good works, but I've got some things against you.
Right.
So when you get down to Pergamos, there's no good church down in Pergamos either. Is that right? So then they say, well, we're going to leave the Baptist church. We're going to find us a Pentecostal church. So let's see what happens here now. And here's what the Bible said in verse 18. And the angel of the church of Thyatira, write what the Son of God hath his eyes on a flame of fire and his feet. I know thy works. There he is again. He's watching thy works and your charity and your service and your patience and it has to be last. Alas, to be more than the first, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, look at what it said, because you let that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a preacher, a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, and to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to tell you something, we've got to stop right there for a minute. God ain't never called a woman to preach. You hear what I'm telling you? God never called a woman to preach. Amen. Come on, nod your little head. Bless God, that's the Lord's truth. And God said, I know your works and you're doing some good things. But he said, I want to tell you something. You're sitting down there listening to that and you ought not be listening to it. Is that right? Is that true? Ain't that true, brother? That's the gospel truth. God never called a woman to preach. Is that right?
That's right, brother. It's in the book.
God's got a special plan for a lady, and I'm trying to tell you, and that's to be a helpmeet and to help her husband and to raise her children. And I don't know if you know it or not, glory to God, but it's to learn how to cook too. Is that right?
Amen.
You ain't gonna find much of that nowadays. I got news for you fellows. Amen. Is that right? My Lord, I just come out of camp meeting this week, and I'm telling you the truth. It took six women to learn how to cook one egg down there. I kept sending my plate back. I said, I want to get it where I can get the yell out of it. Man, they didn't know what I was even talking about. So he said, I want you to know something. There is no perfect church. So now let's look at another real fast. In chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church of Sardis, write these things, saith he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. There he is. He's watching the works. What thou hast a name, thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before me. Here's what he's telling the church of Sardis. You got a name that you're alive, but really on the inside, you are dead.
say if that was me and you going to churches. That's five churches that we done been to already. And each one of them churches that Jesus Christ found something wrong with each one of them. He admired their works. He admired these things. But they had false doctrine. They was doing things wrong. They was letting women preachers in. They was doing everything. And what I'm trying to show you, that there is no perfect church.
Is that right? So don't ever think I'm going to leave here and go there and I'm going to find the perfect church. You're just daydreaming. Is that right? There ain't no such thing. Let me give you the sixth one real fast. Here's the church of the open door. The Bible said in chapter 3, verse 7, and the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy and true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth no man shutteth, and shutteth no man open. I know thy works. There he is, watching him verse again. Behold, I set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For he said, you just got a little strength. But he said, thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. He said, you're just a little church. But he said, I want you to know that I'm going to keep this church here from the tribulation period. This is the church where the saved folks are today. They're in the Philadelphia church. Is that right? Is that right? Now the next one and the last one, and we're going to close on this one here. Here it is in chapter 3 and in verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginner of the creation of God. There it is again. I know thy works, but he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's the same word for vomit. God said, because you're not hot and you're not cold, you make me sick. Here we done visited seven churches, and every one of them, Christ found something wrong with each one of these churches. So my point here today is to be content where you are. Is that right? Turn real fast over to Philippians chapter 4. We close and go home. Philippians chapter number 4. Please. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, if you'd be so kind. Philippians chapter number 4. Let me know, John, show you something. Verse 11. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in, therefore with to be content. Paul said, it don't matter. Whatever state that I'm in, whatever shape that I'm in, to be content exactly where I'm at. And when I checked on that word content, it means to resist the shock. Because can I tell you something? When you first get saved, and I tell you what, when I got born again there that night, I was scared to even touch Christians because I thought that they were so holy. I thought that they were so right. I figured that I was so unclean and so ungodly with my life. There was no way that I'd have reached out and touched one. But it didn't take me very long to find out that they was just like me.
Sure.
Is that right? Is that right? We're all cut from the same cloth. We're all dug from the same pit. Is that right? There's none good. No, not one. And there we are. And there I was. I'll tell you the truth, Brother Ray. I don't know if you heard me say this or not. But I didn't know nothing about church in my life at 28 years old. I'd never read a Bible. I had never prayed. I had never been to church a day in my life at 28 years old and got saved. I got saved there that Friday night. Didn't know what time y'all even opened up church services for Sunday morning services. My first Sunday after I got saved, we showed up at church at 4:30 on Sunday morning. We thought y'all be open for business at 4:30 on Sunday morning. No, 1 minute to 10, you might get somebody to show up. Is that right? But what I'm trying to tell you, I figured those people were so holy, I was scared to touch them like that. But then after a while, and you know what, I used to have a bad habit of saying, I'd see different people in my life and say, boy, I want to be like this, and I want to be like that, and I'd see them fall. I see them fall. I see them fall. But Paul said, whatever state you're in, you be content. Contentment is much, how that it will help you just to be contented. Is that right? And the state, because you're going to have to resist the shock in the church of some things that you're going to see happen. Let's bow our heads for it, please. You're here this morning. You say, Brother Johnny, as I'm here this morning, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt what you was talking about being that hunk of clay and about being born again. Brother Johnny, there was a day and a time and a place. It might have been in a jail cell. It might have been in a foxhole. It might have been aboard ship. It might have been in a psych ward. Might have been in a church. It might have been in a camp meeting. I don't know where it might have been. But there was some place, a day and a time in your life when you accepted Christ to come into your life. And you know that He lives inside of your bosom. You say, Brother Johnny, as I sit here today, I know that I'm born again. I'd like to have every twice born child of God signified by an uplifted hand. Say, Brother Johnny, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. Isn't that good? I know that I'm born again, Brother Johnny. I know, isn't that great? You can put them down now. Now here's a question I want to ask you. You're here today. You're not saved. You're going to have to deal with your sins. You're going to have to deal with them today. The word's done been preached. The Holy Spirit wants you to come and ask Christ to come into your life. And I don't care whatever sins you've ever done in your past. They'll all be forgiven and washed away today. They will all be forgiven. You walk out of the back door of the Fallen Waters Baptist Church, all your past sins are forgiven. Everything, everything completely done away with. You say, Brother Johnny, today I need to be saved. Pray for me, Brother Johnny. Nobody looking around me and God. Say, pray for me, Brother Johnny. Wouldn't there be one? Wouldn't there be one? Say, Brother Johnny, I got to have some help today. Pray for me. Would there be one? Would there be one? Say, Brother Johnny, I'm here today. And Brother Johnny, I got to have some help. Today's the day to come to an old-fashioned altar and ask God to help you. Whatever we can help you with, we'll be so glad to do it. If it's salvation, if you're just about ready to quit, if you done got discouraged with the church, and said, Brother Johnny, you're right. I've not found no perfect people in the church. And my friend, you never will. The only perfect one you'll ever find is Christ. And you say, Brother Johnny, I got to have help today. On the first stanza, I bid you to come today. How can we help you today? Let's all stand if we would, please. Come on, my friend. Come on. Yes. Amen, my friend. You discouraged? You about ready to quit? Come on. Come on. There is no perfect church. There is no perfect people. Come on. Yes. Yes. Come on. Sure. Yes. Come on. Yes. Come on, my friend. Yes. Come on. Yes. Yes. Come on. Have that old way, Lord. Have that old way, Lord. Come on. Search me and try me, Lord. The green grass syndrome. It's no better up the road. It's no better up the road at all. It's what you make of it where you're at. Come on, my friend. Yes. Amen. Yes. Come on.
sure. Yes. 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 Come on, young people. Parents, mamas, daddies, you got one of your children might not be in church today. Maybe you need to be the one down here praying for your babies. In the name of God, if you don't pray for your babies, in the name of God, who's going to? Come on. Come on. Come on. Yes. Yes. Come on. Yes. Sure. Yes. 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 Amen. Sure. Yes. Hold on. Hold on. Yes. Let me say something. While they're praying here, you better believe what I'm telling you. I worked here at the Blessed Hope Boys Home here in Rock Springs for 14 years. I want you to listen to what I'm telling you now. You see these young people in church today, and I thank God for every one of them. But can I say something? That same boy or girl in this church right now, holding a Bible, holding a songbook, at 6 months could be carrying a 38. Is that right? What I'm trying to tell you is we need to pray for each other. We need to get as close to God as we possibly can. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen over and over and over again. So, my friend, how can we help you? Parents, you got a child at home, you got somebody that maybe you need to pray for, you got some grandparents, you young people's got a mom and dad somewhere that's unsaved. Why don't you come make a way to the altar and get it right now? Get Christ to help you, and we'll pray for your parents. Another verse, brother. Yes. Come on. Come on, my friend. Yes. Sure. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. How can we help you? How can we help you? Yes. Yes. Yes.